We're doing Michav Tzchaim. We're Navat Chesed. We're up to page Shin Gimel in the Zeligman edition. The Chafetz Chaim had been discussing that a person should arrange within his lifetime to have assets that will produce a profit, and that profit will go to charitable purposes. And this way a person constantly performs mitzvot in his life and after his life. V'chaven b'chol zeh l'avodet Hashem. One's intention in all this should be to serve God. God grants him longevity, and God is patient with the person. God isn't quick to punish. God gives him the understanding, the intellect, the insight to avoid the pitfalls of life. People very often fall. You look around you. You see, there are people that fall. And if one has merited to lead a life of value, a life of kindness, then he should be thankful that God has given him the intellect to pursue such a life. All too often, we view it the other way. We look at other people and say, why don't they? Less than we are appreciative for that which we do, we use it as a tool to be vindictive? Yeah, is that the word? To vindicate others? Yeah. Of others for their lack of pursuit of such a life. So he says, one should be thankful. One should be thankful that he's avoided that. And that one has merited to stand among those that know the secret of the holiness. And even if a person merits to do stuff before his passing that will be meritorious, that will help him in fixing his soul, so a person should strengthen himself and do it in the honor of God. It's so easy to do it for ulterior motives. So he says, no, a person has to strengthen himself to do it for the right reasons. Easier said than done. God has done so many thousands of good things on behalf of a person. God still got more coming in the world to come, in the resurrection of the dead. As Rashi explains in his commentary of Ha'azinu on the verse, the verse says, remember the days of that have gone, the days of the world. Zechol Yomot Olam, Rashi explains. Just one second, sorry. We'll get there. So Rashi and that pasuk says that Zechol Yomot Olam Binu Shnot Dovado, that a person should recognize that the good that he's had so far, and that God is still going to do good in the world to come. That's what Rashi says on the pasuk Zechol Yomot Olam Binu Shnot Dovado. Remember the past, look to the future. Rashi says, look to the future, there's still good, there's more good that's coming. Val kol panim yechaven stam bishvil tikun nishmato. And nonetheless, a person should at least have intention. I'm going to be a better person. I'm fixing my soul with this. If a person doesn't strengthen himself to actually have intent, it could even be that in a person's final moments, that he is on the verge of death, in the final moments, he will do it with the wrong intent. He will do it in the name of arrogance. Yeah, let me do this charity so that everyone will know I'm so great. As our sage said, the verse says in Psalms that a pious person prays to God about le'et mitzo, about the time where he's going to encounter. The question is, what's he going to encounter? He's going to encounter death. A pious person prays till the last moment. So that's this idea. We like to think that in the face of death we become pious. It is not necessarily so. proof of the pudding is on Yom Kippur. What do we read Yom Kippur afternoon? Yom Kippur afternoon, Mincha time. What do we read? The Parsha of Arayos, the prohibited women in Achraimos. Why? So one understanding in Talmud is Yom Kippur is a time when everyone gathers to shul. So we all try to focus in our prayer books and we're trying to be very focused on our prayers. But the women's section is filled with women and walking in and walking out. So our sages wanted to remind us, even on this holy of days, where our thoughts should be and how prohibited a prohibited woman is. It's interesting. You'd like to think on Yom Kippur, who's thinking of that, right? Our sages are very practical. So on Yom Kippur afternoon, we read the Parsha of Arayos. So same is true with the Day of Death. The same is true. A person would like to think that as he approaches death, he'll become more pious. Hopefully, not necessarily. It's a good idea not to wait. V'yadati alish nechabad echad. And he concludes the thought. He says, I knew a respectable man, sheit yashev lifnei moto b'inyanav, that before his passing, he sat down to go over whatever he had to go over his whatever issues were left open. And he decided that he's going to give his shas as a donation to the Beis Medrash. Now, that was a very big donation. Today, we have shas and all over, right? But once upon a time, they didn't. You had whole communities that didn't have a copy of shas. We are uncertain if Rashi had steady access to the Jerusalem Talmud. It seems like he did not. In Rashi's town, it seems like they did not have a steady copy of the Jerusalem Talmud. So we take it for granted. We got all these books. But once upon a time, things were very hard to come by. They were very expensive. And before the printing press, every copy was hand copied. Take into account the Christian book burnings, and now you're left with thousands of copies burnt, whole cities that don't have a copy of the shas. So there's this respectable man who had decided that he would donate his shas to the Beis Medrash. And a businessman, it's impossible for him to avoid here or there taking money that's thievery, that's really not legitimately his. And when a person doesn't know who he took from, sometimes you don't know. So one of the ways to repent for such a sin is to donate things to the public. You build a bridge. So hopefully over time this person will use that bridge and you'll slowly repay him what you stole from him. So you donate books to Beis Medrash. Hopefully over time with their use, you'll repay what you took. And he wanted to do it while he was still alive to give the shas to the Beis Medrash. He said, who knows, after I die, maybe my kids won't want to give the shas to the Beis Medrash. That's why he's in his final moments and he's sitting with the Chevra Kadisha and he told them, he said, take the books right away, bring my shas to the Beis Medrash while I'm still around. And he said to everyone present, so he's there lying on his deathbed and he wants to do what's right and he says, do me a favor, bring my shas right now to the Beis Medrash. And then he says, oy vavoy, woe to me, shegam ata shu samuch leptirati, even now that I'm about to die, hayetzer mitgaber belibi, you should just know the Yetzer Hara within me is going strong, that I still want to impress all of you. He said to them, you know, I know I'm on the verge of dying, and look at what's happening within me. Nonetheless, a person has to know, what happens if a person says, I'm not succeeding? The only reason I do good things is for people to see. So don't go to the opposite extreme and say, okay, I won't do the mitzvah, I won't daven shacharis, because the only reason I'm putting on tefillin is for everyone else to see it. but that's pretty bad if I'm not going to do the mitzvah, because the only reason I'm doing the mitzvah is because it's not a good thing. And you'd be surprised how many times we do this. We tell ourselves, come on, it's fake. I'm only doing this to impress people. And then we say, okay, so I won't do what's right. So isn't that funny? But yet, that's a pitfall we all fall in. So interesting how the Yetzer Hara can be so convoluted, can really take us for a ride. He says, you know, that's what the Yetzer Hara is doing to you. Causes a person to have improper thoughts. So a person won't do the mitzvah. And that's why the verse says, if you feel the spirit of the ruler trying to overtake you, don't leave your space, stick to your mitzvah. So this is the concluding words of advice Chafetz Chaim tells us. He says, do the charity while you still can, set up the assets while you still can, and hopefully you'll do it all for the right reasons, and if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, well, at least you're doing it. That's better than not doing it at all. And that's a very, very important piece of advice. We very often strive for what's best. I'll give you an example from modern day life. This might be news to you guys, but the gear department in the state is not exactly functioning the way everyone would like it to function. It might be a surprise. I know here at Machon Meir, you guys, maybe it's a taboo subject, but there is an issue with the gear department in the state. We would all like to see it run better, more smoothly, more clearly. People should understand what they need to do and how it'll get done. What? So along comes a person and says, okay, the department's not working right, so let's abolish the department and make it free game. Anyone can do a gear. Any local Orthodox rabbi can do a gear. Any local rabbi can do a gear. That's the law that's on the floor of the Knesset right now. FYI, for your information, the people behind that law, we shouldn't talk about them. Let's leave that silent for now. But they're not people, let's just say they're not exactly interested in Torah observance. But you'll notice that whenever people try to make a move that will be destructive, they first come with a legitimate claim. When they come and say there's a problem with the gear department, they're right, there is. That doesn't mean they're offering a real solution. But that's the way our Yetzer Hara always, very often, works within ourselves. He says, you're not doing it right. You're going to show up late for Minyan. How many times do people wake up late and the Yetzer Hara says, well, you're going to walk into shul late, right? So then you roll over and you don't go to shul altogether? Come on, is that any better? But there are so many times that the Yetzer Hara gets us that way. And a person has to outsmart him. But this is in communal life, in private life, this is a recurring theme, and the person has to overcome it. You know, very often a person, Tov, you guys get the point. This is, if you pay attention to it, you'll see it comes up often in life.
What's wrong with the...